And why you want to be baptized today, and then we'll yes, everyone can hear. Yes, come up here. Yes,
come up with me.
So,
ever since coming to the chapel, myself, and I'm sure I can speak for you, felt much more at peace, and just everything seems to make sense in life. We came to Bolney around 6 years ago. Five years ago. And in 2021, Cole got diagnosed with autism. And as the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And you'd be surprised how small that village gets when you have an autistic child. But the Lord puts in the right village.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful at how everyone's been so caring and accommodating and just lovely. And it was Chrissy, actually, you told me to write a prayer diary, and I did. And everything that's been on that diary has really come true. It's bizarre that... this is very strange. Yeah. Including baby number 3. So me and Rich are having...
We came here and we sort of moved from London. It was like, you know, what do we do, sort of thing, you know. It's really quiet because you're used to distraction and noise and stuff. And we came in, the first introduction was our neighbour Dee, who's obviously on holiday at the moment, but we want to give her a mention. She said, why don't you pop round to the chapel sometime. It's like, yeah. And we sort of toyed with the idea, and then we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
And since then, you know, just we couldn't believe how kind everyone was, really, and generous. And we always worry as well with Cole, you know, how people react and stuff. And just found like just unbelievable sort of generosity and love and kindness. And we were like, yeah, why is everyone so kind, sort of thing? We didn't understand it. And then we went to Joe and Rob's for Hope Explored, and that was our first deeper dive into faith. We kind of then realised that it was the Holy Spirit in all of everyone. And I think that was when we really wanted some ourselves, so we got really involved in, and then sort of started coming regular and stuff. I know it's been probably about 18 months since that first meeting at John Robb's, but we're here now and we're...
I think what enticed him most at the start was the bacon rolls. And then it's...
No. Yeah. I mean, that's a great touch, by the way. But, it's a lot of, you know, even look at today, what's happened, you know, everyone sort of pulls together. It's a real sort of team effort, and I want to thank everyone for their efforts today, and look forward to a life with Jesus and getting to know him a bit better.
Amen. Fantastic. Okay, well, we've got this morning, which Rob is going to come and read for us. It's from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, and it's on page 1132 in the chapel Bibles, if you want to follow. 1132 or thereabouts. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Dead to sin, alive to Christ.
Are you all there? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Just before I just say a few words, I want to make a little presentation to Jess and Richie and Cole and Carmen. When you may remember that when there's a coronation and the queen or king is crowned, they are given a Bible. Charles was given a Bible at his coronation, and he was given with a Bible with these words: "The most valuable thing this world affords." The most valuable thing this world affords. Why? Because it's the Holy Bible. It's the Holy Book of Life. It's the book through which God speaks. So I've got you all a Bible to encourage you and to help you on your journey. So, Richie, there you are. There's one for you, and then there's a sort of girly one for Jess, and then there's an age appropriate one for Carmen.
Fantastic.
And then there's a touchy-feely one for Cole.
Thank you.
And just certificates for you, and just so you have a good memory. If anyone ever wants you to prove that you were baptised, so you have proof of the occasion. So,
is that sturdy?
You
can't get
it, no, it's quite sturdy. Okay. It might it might fall through. Someone keep an eye.
Is it cold proof?
Is it cold proof? We will find. So I just wanted to say, that's a very bad thing. If a preacher ever starts by saying, "I just want to say a few words," my heart generally sinks, because I think, no, that ain't going to happen. But no, genuinely, I want to say just a few words about grace and how hard it is to understand grace. How hard it is to understand that Jesus has done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. I remember when I came to faith at the age of 17, I had this idea that now I was following Jesus, I had to be perfect. Now I was following Jesus, I couldn't make any more mistakes, and I couldn't sin. And if I did, then I thought, I still need to be punished in some way. So for a very short period of time after I first came to faith, if I did something and I felt really bad about it, I wouldn't eat for a day. I like starved myself, because I thought, well, I know Jesus died on the cross, but I need to feel forgiven. I need to feel I've done something in order to be forgiven. So I wouldn't eat for a day. And then if I did the same thing again, which I did, then I wouldn't eat for 2 days. And then if I did the same thing again, then I wouldn't eat for 3 days. And then I quickly realised that I was going to starve to death before I ever felt forgiven. And that's not the way it works. But there was a season in the early church where the vogue was deathbed baptisms, on the basis that people thought, once you've been baptised, you must never sin again. So people would literally wait until they were drawing their last breath and then rush the priest in to get baptised. I have to say, there's a risk to that approach. There is a real risk to that approach, because you might get run over by a bus before you have time to call in the priest. That's not how it works. Paul says, Romans 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? Shall we go on sinning? He's saying, what has really changed? Have you suddenly become perfect And now you're never going to... Have you got a cat? You haven't got a cat. If you had a cat, you're never going to kick the cat again. And, you know, you're going to be... it's all going to be sweetness and light in the Crane household forever. There's never going to be another crossword. And there's, you know, you're never going to put... That's not going to happen. You're still going to mess up. You're still going to make mistakes. What has changed? Well, Paul says this. He says, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that we too may live a new life. So what has died? What has died? What has changed in you in coming to Christ? What changes in any of us when we come to Christ? What changes is we are dethroned. Our ego, our selfish human nature is dethroned. And Jesus once again takes his rightful place on the throne. We are created in the image of God. We're created to reflect God's glory. But because of our sin, because of our falling short of his glory, we don't reflect his image. We reflect ourselves. And what died, what we symbolise the death of as you were plunged under the waters, was death to self. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. My selfish nature, my flesh without God has died. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in a Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, I've died. I'm dead. But I'm alive in Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's now Jesus by his Holy Spirit who has taken up residence in your hearts and lives, and he's beginning a work in you. Over the next decades, he will transform you more and more into his likeness as you worship, as you read his word, as you pray, as you learn more and more about him. But today, we've marked the point that you've moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's what has changed. Sometimes people say, are you looking forward to eternal life? And if I'm ever asked that question, I say, no, I'm not looking forward to eternal life because I'm living it. My eternal life began on the 23rd of January, 1982. Because on the 23rd of January, 1982, I realised what Jesus had done for me. I realised that in his love and his kindness, Jesus had died for me on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven. And I was overwhelmed by what he had done. And I thought, Jesus, if that's what you have done for me, then what else can I do but spend the rest of my life following you? And so on the 23rd of January, 1982, I surrendered to Jesus, and I was transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. And that's when I began my eternal life. So I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not encouraging early dispatch. But I'm not afraid because I know what I'm looking forward to with certainty. I know the process of getting old is not always comfortable. Things stop working and things fall off, and it's getting old cannot be pleasant, and I'm sort of entering that time of my life where things are falling out and not working in the way they were, that we're subject to decay, that's where we're going. But I'm more excited today than I was yesterday, because today I'm a day nearer being with Jesus. Now, Paul, in one of his letters where he suffered terribly, he's like, what do I do? He says, do I want to stay and live this life, or do I want to go and be with Jesus? And he says, I'd rather go and be with Jesus. But he says, I know for now it's right that I stay. Paul says, for me to live, to die is gain. Now you're following Jesus, you literally can't lose because of what he's done for you. So as you live this life, you now live it in the life of Christ, and it's him living in you. And, you've already experienced the amazing love of Jesus, his answered prayers, his presence, his peace, so many things. that is just going to expand. It's not always going to be easy. Life is hard and there will be tough times. But Jesus' promise is he will be with you. He'll be with you in it. He'll never leave you. And when you die, things will just get better. So you can't lose. When you follow Jesus, you simply can't lose. Because the worst thing that might happen is someone takes your life, but then things get better. So what has happened today? What does Paul say? Shall we go on sinning? No. He says, because of what Jesus done, we may live a new life. He says, verse 7, anyone who has died has been freed from sin, freed from the power of sin. He closes, verse 14, sin will not be your master. Sin will not be your master. You'll still sin. You'll still mess up. But sin is no longer your master. Jesus is your master. And every time you do mess up, every time you sin, you run to Jesus. You run to the cross. Because on the cross, the price was paid. If I didn't know the forgiveness of Jesus, I would feel so guilty and ashamed of what I think, sometimes what I say, and sometimes what I do. And I would just be every day piling up a bigger pile of falling short of God's glory, sinful thoughts and words and actions, and the pile would just be getting bigger. And as hard as I tried to work to get rid of the pile, I'd just be adding to it. But in Jesus, it's all gone. In Jesus, the slate is wiped clean. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin from us. It's out of sight. But grace is hard to understand. It's offensive. It doesn't seem fair. But it's what Jesus won for us. A new life. The certainty of eternity. It seems so simple. How can I be forgiven? How can I receive all of this? Just by making a decision to follow Jesus. But that's how simple it is. Because it's grace. It's not about what we do for him. It's about what he has done for us. And so, you don't need to work hard at following Jesus. You do need to be disciplined. He's now the focus of your life. So there's a discipline involved. And you're already living that life because you're part of our church family and you're praying and you're reading God's word. But what you need to do now is work out your salvation, not work for it. Jesus won your salvation on the cross. And now he says, let me work out your salvation. Let me just finish with this last little encouragement from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We are now partners in the gospel, partners in sharing the good news. As Dee was instrumental in sharing the good news of Jesus with you, so now you are becoming instrumental in inviting people to hear the good news of Jesus. That's why I have to keep cooking more curry for the men's curry night, because you keep inviting people to come. Yeah. But that's a good thing. But he first finishes, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's begun the work. He will carry it on to completion until the day he comes back. What a joy. What a joy. What a gift. What a freedom. What a liberty. That's what we do, what we do. And that's why we're here. And it's the most beautiful thing to welcome you.
Thank you.
I mean, you're already part. But to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Yeah. To live in Christ and to spend eternity with you. We're going to get to spend eternity with you. It was all going so well. Let me pray. And maybe this morning you are just struck by this amazing gift, by this grace. And if you want to turn to Jesus this morning and to say, yeah, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know more of you, then you can do that even in these moments. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that in your in your love, you sent your son Jesus. And in your kindness, you bring us to repentance. In your kindness, you show us that we're lost without you, but as a way of inviting us to follow you. And again, thank you, Father, for Jess and Richie and Cole and Carmen and this momentous public declaration of their desire to follow Jesus. Father, I pray that anyone here this morning who may be wondering about these things, who may even this morning be thinking, I want to be set free. I want to be set free from guilt and shame. I want to know with certainty that eternal life is not just possible but available in Jesus. That even in these moments, we can reach out to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I know I've messed up and I ask you to forgive me. To set me free from guilt and shame. To come into my life by your Holy Spirit. To begin a work in me that you will see to completion. Father, wherever we may be this morning in our journey with you, I pray that that journey will continue. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.